we present the News Quiz with your host, Miles Jupp.
Welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Watford Observer, read by Neil Sleet.
A group of primary school children toured the Houses of Parliament this week, thanks to their guide, Watford MP Richard Harrington. The children had an opportunity to grill Mr. Harrington before lunch.
Our thanks to Ian Pankhurst for sending that in. Now, let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Hugo Rifkind and Katie Brand. And opposite them on my left, stand-up comedian Kiri Pritchard-McLean and Rich Hall. Hugo, who's been campaigning till she's blue in the face?
This would presumably be Theresa May, because there's an election on. Have you heard about that? I hope we're not breaking this for Radio 4, but there is an election on. Theresa May's had quite a good week. She's certainly had a better week than anybody else. Better week than Tim Farron. People keep asking Tim Farron whether he thinks gay sex is a sin, and he won't say, or at least he hadn't. He eventually said, but it had to get dragged out of him. And it's difficult because some people think it's a sin to think that gay sex is a sin, and other people think it's a sin to think it's a sin that gay sex is a sin, and some people think it's a sin to think it's a sin to think it's a sin that gay sex is a sin. And poor Tim Farron has had to talk about all of this when he wants to be talking about Brexit, which he thinks is a sin. So that's tough. But for Theresa May, she's discovered that, yeah, the Tories could win a majority in Wales for, like, the first time in a century, which is completely remarkable for them, if it happens, perhaps less so for Wales. But she's had... The only real problem there's been for Theresa May this week is she can't decide whether or not to keep the triple lock, which, for those who don't know what the triple lock is the thing they've got on the door of Boris Johnson's office to keep it from getting out and going on the television. And that broke, and he called Jeremy Corbyn a mutton-headed mugwump.
Mutton-headed old mugwump.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Otherwise, it would have been almost complimentary.
Yeah.
Do you know what a mugwump is? I looked it up. There's two versions of what a mugwump is. One version is a sort of politically neutral person, and the other is a insect-headed drug hallucination from a William Burroughs novel that squirts jism from its antennae.
So, I think that sounds more like a description of Boris Johnson.
I just wonder which one he was going for.
Yeah.
My mum used to call me a mugwump when I was a little boy. And I know which one she was going for. Unstoppable at times. Yep.
Did you hear, I think it was on BBC Radio Derby, I think it was, Theresa May was on, and they asked her the question, do you know what a mugwump is? And she said, what I recognise is that what we need in this country is strong and stable leadership.
How do you feel about it all, Kiri?
Well, I'm scared because I live up north. And it's going to be like Mad Max soon. It's amazing because he's foreign secretary and he should be giving like meaningful speeches about things that matter. And then he says a weird word, and you're right, that's all anyone can concentrate on. He's a foreign secretary, not the BFG.
Rich, have you you've been following this with considerable interest?
No. I'm American. I got my own set of problems. I don't time to worry about Boris Johnson.
You're not worried about triple lock pensions disappearing or
that
a swing to the right?
No, I'm worried that the world's going to blow up tomorrow because some comb over orangutan in America has been given a nuclear football. As an American, you know, the whole idea of being able to call a snap election to me is reeks of overconfidence or non-confidence. You're sailing through this sea of Brexit negotiations, and all of a sudden you've just, hey, let's get everybody on deck, and hey, is anybody interested in a mutiny? You just don't. Why would you do that? Why would you just do your job? Because if you're campaigning, then that's taken away from the fact that you have to pay attention to your job as prime minister. You understand what I'm saying? You can't just, hey, it's not a rally, people. I'm just saying, you don't, is everybody happy with this rant so far? I could bring somebody else in and they could finish it. I don't understand why you, she's got, 64% majority?
It just feels like we've all been gathered for Theresa May's 10th birthday party and we all have to sit around and watch her open all her presents.
disrespectful. It's disrespectful to the people who originally supported her. Hmm. I mean, I could go out on the street, people, and get a better audience than you. Want you to clap and cheer and carry me off on their shoulders, but I'm sticking with you people.
Why does Nicola Sturgeon think the election's been called?
I think something like crush Scottish independence in some sort of way or something like that.
She has raised the question if it's actually all about Tory election expenses fraud and the whole thing is a smokescreen.
Theresa May said she fully supports all the MPs who are being investigated, and they are, a lot of them are standing again, aren't they? So does everything just stop? Is it like...
Well, I guess the thing is, it's not that it would it stops the inquiry, but if most likely what would have happened if they'd been found to do something wrong is there'd have to be another election. Hmm. So if there's another election anyway, that's that one dealt
right.
with.
What is the strategy behind calling an election? Is it to consolidate your support?
Yeah.
I think she feels maybe that her support is at its highest point now.
So it's renewing her subscription.
Yeah.
It's about the way she's sort of a pattern she's noticed over her life, I suppose. She thinks, right, you know, she's met a new bunch of people, they seem to like her. After 2 or 3 years, they just drift away. She's lived that tens and tens of times, and she doesn't want it to happen again, Rich. It's almost heartbreaking.
I also think, quite seriously, in 2020, I think Sadiq Khan will be in a position to become Labour leader, won't he? And he will be quite a formidable opponent, I should think.
I've not heard that raised. You think that specifically?
No, I feel like I might have made that up on my own. I put it out there and I'm growing in confidence with it.
Well, I mean, he did tell me that wasn't his plan, actually.
Well,
no, I interviewed him a couple of months ago for GQ, and mm-hmm. he insists he's going to do 2 terms as mayor, and there's no plans to come back and take control of the car crash that is the Labour Party. Those weren't his exact words.
OK.
But they were close, actually.
But there's no precedent at all, is there, for politicians saying they're not going to try and become leader? We should definitely take him at his word on that.
Well, they're the Mayor of London.
Yeah, that's never happened.
You interviewed him for GQ magazine.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, that's good. What does he think of the high-waisted pleated trouser?
He's very good at skipping, actually, was the main thing I learned.
Really?
Yeah. We were in a boxing gym, because his brother runs a boxing gym, and he can skip like anything, can Sadiq Khan.
He demonstrates.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Wow. Up, down, up, down, up, down.
All the skipping directions, he had both of them absolutely covered. It really was extraordinary to see. Generally, this is Theresa May's fight to remain Prime Minister of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, a fight which, if current polling is to be believed, increasingly resembles an attempt by Usain Bolt to win the 100 metres while wearing rocket-powered shoes on a day when all the other runners have mysteriously failed to turn up. The polls even suggest that the Conservatives could come out on top in a general election in Wales for the first time in 100 years. And you can understand why the Welsh would be happy to have the Conservatives in power. They are the safe option. They've already destroyed the country's industrial base once. They can't very well do it again. Following this week's PMQs, speculation grew that the Conservatives will drop triple-locked pensions and replace them with a cheaper double-lock. Although many pensioners remember a time when you didn't need a lock on your pension at all. In fact, you could leave your pension unlocked all day long and not have to worry about it, and your neighbours could wander in and out of your pension whenever they pleased, and also there were fewer foreigners. Two points to Hugo. Katie, what's the position of the opposition?
Well, this is about, obviously, Jeremy Corbyn and Tim Farron and all the other parties who are opposing the government in the general election. But I think everyone was waiting for Jeremy Corbyn to tell us what the Labour Party is going to be all about in this general election. And then I felt like the first thing I heard was that we were going to get 4 new bank holidays. And I thought, OK. I thought, that's nice, Jeremy, that's nice. Like, I'm not going to complain about 4 new bank holidays, but it does sort of feel like, you know, if your house is burning down and your neighbour comes around with a cashmere cushion. But there are obviously other Labour policies which have come to light about NHS pay, for example. I think they are looking for to abolish the pay cap, I think, for NHS workers. But as luck would have it, the 1% pay rise for nurses is roughly equivalent to £350 million. So... how odd.
I don't think we should have more bank holidays. I think we can't cope with the ones we've got. May bank holidays, we've got quite a lot, haven't we? People go bonkers. Normal people can't. Obviously, comedians do, because it's just a normal. It's what we do, isn't it? You just get up at noon and hate your family. But you guys can't cope with it. You all just panic and realise that, you know, you've got to go back to your job soon and you need to do something meaningful, so you run off to an old house. Like...
The main thing Labour did this week was they announced their Brexit policy. Keir Starmer, Sir Keir Starmer, I should say, who I always worry about. He always looks very surprised, like he's just remembered he's not a Tory. You know, he's just staggered.
You probably recognise, Hugo.
Why, thank you. Yeah.
I always think he looks like he can't decide what hairstyle he wants to have.
He has the something about Mary hairstyle, doesn't he? He goes straight up. Probably spending too much time with a mugwump, yeah. I'd have thought. The problem Labour has with Brexit is that they've got these two entirely separate constituencies that they need to appeal to, the kind of metropolitan lefties and people in sort of provincial towns and in the north and in Wales as well, and they no longer have anything in common, and they've got to appeal to both of them. It's like if you have two people coming for dinner and one of them is a hardcore vegan and the other one is a lion. You've got to serve them both the same thing. What do? And that is Labour's predicament, and they have no idea how to solve it.
Do you know how you tell if someone's a vegan?
It's probably easier to tell if someone's a lion, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you can feed the vegan to the lion, and that solves half your problem.
I think vegans are heroes. I genuinely think they're amazing. I think they make an incredibly difficult lifestyle choice to make the world a better place. If they could bring themselves to eat the alt-right, I think they would solve all our problems.
Has any opposition party or group mentioned veganism? They have not, let me tell you.
I think Tim Farron thinks it's a sin.
Yeah. Specifically, these are the campaigning efforts of the opposition parties, where as part of his inexorable long march to power, Jeremy Corbyn this week received the backing of the Communist Party of Great Britain. And those guys know how to pick a winner. Labour announced plans for a massive boost in spending on the NHS, while Conservatives responded that a strong NHS needs a strong economy, painting an exciting picture of the future where women going through the excruciating pain of childbirth are admitted to NHS maternity units and offered the choice of an epidural or a strong economy and a wooden spoon to bite on. Labour pledged four new bank holidays named after our national saints, intended to promote greater unity in the UK. And imagine the simple wonder come St David's Day when a man in Buckinghamshire might spare a moment thinking about what it might be like to be a very similar man in Caerphilly, also failing to put up some shelves. So, to summarise, the first full week of campaigning, we've learned that the Conservative election slogan is strong and stable leadership. The Lib Dems is, I do like gay sex. No, wait, hang on. And the Labour Party's is the lengthy, rasping rattle of impending death. So, however you'd spell that. 2 points to Katie. Rich, who's been booed in Berlin?
Ivanka Trump, Miles, was booed in Berlin by German. Boy, when the Germans are booing you. What have you done wrong? We don't approve of this. No. I think because she went over and she, like a G20 summit, but for women to, you know, celebrate the empowerment of 20 G women. And then, you
Who's
know.
At the door? The G women have arrived.
Yeah. So then Ivanka just kind of rocks up, and I'm sure that, you know, this is Christine Lagarde, this is the foreign minister of Canada. These were, I guess, just it must have just felt like, who the hell invited you? You know, I'd like to see Donald show up, that would have been great, but to send his daughter and then to stand up for her dad to talk about, oh, he's very supportive of family values. What, your dad? It's like Nancy Sinatra. How did she? Oh, I get it. That's why she's in show business, because her dad was Frank Sinatra. But let's face it, boots. It's a whole song written from instructions that you got when you bought a pair of boots. That's what the song is. It's got nothing to do with that. But
if you bought a pair of boots and you read the manuals, it said, one day these boots are going to walk all over me. I'm not going to buy footwear that's going to rise up against me. conceivably be the instrument.
She said something really charming at one point. She said, I grew up in a house where there was no barrier to what I could accomplish. But that's not good parenting, isn't it? That's just growing up white and rich in America.
She definitely comes over better than any other member of the Trump family because she's the only one who doesn't look sweaty and nervous.
The one I enjoyed watching in that clip was Angela Merkel, who looked like, because she's so under control and composed, but you can see if you just watch her in the clip where Ivanka is talking about how her father is a great supporter of women and how he's always supported her, it's like she's sort of, her face is composed, but she's gripping the microphone into dust. It was quite an incredible show of control, I thought.
Do you think the people that went in to clean up after, every scene in front of everybody, there were loads of snapped pencils?
It's like Angela Merkel just thinking, I will not beat her with my shoe. I will smile and be good. Good Angela, good Angela.
The moderator's first question to Ivanka was, so you're the first daughter, explain what that is, because we don't have them in Germany. Which I thought was just very, it's like brilliant German passive aggression.
First daughter sounds like a term that they use for clarity on a DNA special on Jeremy Kyle.
Who has Trump summoned for a briefing on North Korea this week?
All the senators, isn't it?
The entire Senate. 100 senators went to the White House to be briefed by senior administration officials about the brewing confrontation, should we call it, with North Korea. Anyone know what he said to them?
No, but it's entirely manufactured by him, isn't it? It's now being talked about as if it's the inevitability of war with North Korea, as if this was always going to happen and it was always on the cards. But basically, he went up to a wasp's nest and kicked it and then kind of wandered back and went, oh, no, the wasps are coming. It's not inevitable. It didn't have to happen, does it?
Not a big wasp nest, though, is it? Even if they have missiles, they're not going to reach. They could only reach America by FedEx.
What do we learn that President Trump has on his desk in the Oval Office this week?
A severed head. Yeah. A severed head executive desk toy.
I'll tell you what it is. He has a special wooden box on his desk in the White House, and it contains a single button. And when he presses that button, a butler brings him a glass of Coca-Cola. Which is the sort of thing a child who had unexpectedly come into millions and millions of dollars...
There's a red button that controls nuclear weapons and a red button that controls serving Coke sooner or later. Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't even like Coca-Cola. He keeps trying to start
side
a nuclear war. Formicaciously, these are the adventures of Ivanka Trump, who this week attended a G20 women's summit in Berlin, where she was booed and jeered by the crowd, which is remarkable, really, given that crowds in Germany tend to give right-wing political figures, at worst, the benefit of the doubt. President Trump has faced criticism in Germany for giving such a significant foreign policy role to his daughter, but in fairness, he'd already got her a pony the year before, and, well, where'd you go after that? Vouchers simply wouldn't cover it. Also this week, Donald Trump briefed the Senate about new sanctions for North Korea and proposed what could amount to a huge tax cut for the rich, although his administration are describing it as a helpful simplification of the tax code. Now Americans just have one page to fill out on their tax return with one question and two tick boxes. Are you A, very rich, or B, too weak from starvation to lift your pen? 2 points to Rich.
My favorite thing that our president said this week was somebody asked him, how much is this wall in Mexico going to cost? $10 billion. Unless it's a super duper wall, then it might cost a bit more. Our president said the word duper. To the point I have to break it down. Well, okay, so if it's cost more super, what if it's not super? What if it's just a duper wall?
He did an incredible tweet about the wall, didn't he? I can't quite remember the wording, but it was something like, we've delayed the wall so that we can start it earlier at a later date.
Yeah, that's pretty emphatic speaking.
It was eventually, but at a later date so we can start it earlier, yeah. We will build this wall. And you're like, what?
Incredible.
What?
Incredible.
Does that mean you've already started building it, but you're going to finish... What?
It's like it doesn't even operate in linear time, Donald Trump. It just sort of
that's not going to be a great speech. I have a dream sooner. Well, I will later, but that's not going to happen. I'm going to have a dream. I think we have to resign ourselves to the fact that this wall is going to go up. It's just, he's promised it, it's going to go up, and it's going to be It's not going to work.
There was a great news story a few weeks ago about a woman who had voted for Trump, who lived in Texas, who found subsequently that because of the precise coordinates of where the border is, when the wall is built, her house will be in Mexico.
It's a 2,000-mile border, and it's 6 inches wide. They have to submit all these different plans. One guy has submitted a plan for a foam wall. The guy's name is Hadrian. Absolutely true. And the wall's made out of foam. So I say, go home tonight, take some polystyrene, put it in a microwave, and let's see how that works, because that's what a foam wall in the Sonoran Desert's going to do. I was in York 3 weeks ago. There's three Mexican restaurants right in the middle of town. I'm just saying. Walls don't work.
And at the end of round one, the scores are Hugo and Katie have 5, and Kiri and Rich have 4. We start round two with a typo spotted on the Universe Today website.
Ever since the discovery of the Higgs boson particle, CERN in Switzerland has been dedicated to furthering the study of physics. To this end, an experiment was set up involving a large hadron collider.
Our thanks to Liz Cole in New Zealand for sending us that. Curie, qui encercle le whirlpool?
Oh, yeah, it's all kicking off outside a factory, innit? In France, for the elections, Macron turned up at this factory to sort of appeal to speak to the unions about shutting it down, trying to get a better deal for the workers there. And then Le Pen rocks up outside the factory gates and was like, I'm here to speak to the people, and sort of painted herself as a saviour of the people. And then he got angry at that and went down to the gates, and they had this sort of face-off in front of the camera, like a West Side Story kind of thing. It's so weird because Macron as well is known for, like, he goes out into the crowds like Jesus walks amongst them. So apparently he, like, gets in his critics' faces. Like, anyone who's criticising, he'll go down and through the crowds and talk to them. I tried to do that once at a gig in Hartlepool. I lost a shoe. I quite like him. I think she's a nightmare. Racism is having a great year, isn't it? It's like vinyl. It's coming back.
I think that... That's why she went to a washing machine factory, because she enjoys seeing the settings that say colored and white.
I was just amazed that anyone's... Who's building tumble dryers? Who's still buying tumble dryers? Is that just me? Let your shirts dry on a radiator and go crispy like the rest of us, you bourgeois pigs.
They do. I mean, to keep your towels, I mean, genuinely fluffy. Anyone know what the French for tumble dryer is?
No.
No.
Rich?
No.
Man in the audience who said something?
Le tumble dryer.
Le tumble dryer. Very, very close. Although that is the masculine article and it's feminine. No, it is. Le sèche-linge. Yeah? Repeat that back to me so I know that. Thank you, thank you.
You guys are all going to smash a pub quiz now, you will.
5 minutes extra of free play time at the end. What job does Marine Le Pen no longer have?
So she stood down as the leader of the National Front. And it's the weirdest thing that you've got the actual National Front, and she's actually running for president from the National Front. It's like, I mean, it's a bit like if, you know, there was a German election and the Nazis were running. And everyone was like, no, 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 it's not the Nazis. They're completely different. It's a complete new broom. They're totally different now. And you go, all right, well, who's leading the Nazis now? And they go, Adele Hitler. It's like, what? How can this... What are you talking about? How can this be happening?
She stopped gigging then, has she? That's a turn up. Blimey. But it's hilarious that if it's like she just stood down and it's like, does she think people are just going to forget? Like, oh, who's this Marine Le Pen?
It's like when you go to a nightclub, you don't get in and you swap your jumper with your mate and then you get in. That's what she's trying to do.
Efficaciously, these are the latest goings-on in the French election, where the action this week revolved around the workforce of a tumble dryer factory. Although if anyone knows all there is to know about revolving, it's presumably the workforce of a tumble dryer factory. Marine Le Pen managed to upstage her opponent Emmanuel Macron by arriving at the same factory he was due to visit in what was, for Le Pen, a triumph of spin. And if anyone knows... You're going to make this hard to edit. That and the fact that Hugo spread jism all over the recording. And if anyone knows all there is to know about a triumph of spin, it's presumably the workforce of a tumble dryer factory. Of course, British politicians avoid these sorts of problems by ensuring well in advance that we don't have any factories. All of this makes me pine for the days of pre-revolutionary France, where instead of having elections, the man with the curliest hair would automatically become king. 2 points to Kiri. Hugo, when is the news not the news?
There's a lot of fake news around, and everyone's very worried about it. And so this week, two big things happened in the world of combating fake news. The first is that Jimmy Wales, who is the man behind Wikipedia, he has started a site called WikiTribune, which is going to basically bring to the news all the standards of veracity, truth and reliability that he has so far brought to Wikipedia. You may see a small problem with this. I once introduced a lie to Wikipedia for a joke when Prince William and Kate Middleton, or whatever we should call her now, announced the date of their wedding. I went onto Wikipedia immediately as I heard it on the radio just to see what would happen and put in on that date. I said it was in whatever it was, 1862, on this date, Queen Victoria broke her toe fly fishing, just to see if anyone picked it up the next day. And it was in the Daily Telegraph the next day, as things that had happened on the day that they were going to get married. Simultaneously, Google is starting something called Project Owl. And Project Owl is going to police the news that Google publishes a bit better. So, and they're going to sort of rate sites not by how popular they are, which is what they do at the moment, but how reliable they are. And this is all part of combating the sort of growing trend of fake news, which people reckon is skewing our democracy and sending us all mad.
Because he's asking for money to do this.
He's asking for money to, I guess, just to set it up. Well, he hasn't got any money. It's the amazing thing about Jimmy Wales is he's the only tech entrepreneur who changed the world and didn't make any money.
It must be really awkward at the Tech Entrepreneur Annual Getaway.
He cycles up.
Yeah. He's like, oh, guys, can we just have the set menu? Oh, Jimmy's coming. Better not have cocktails.
What do you think about this, Kerry?
I think it's a really good thing. I think they're applying filters for Project Owl is a great thing, because you get all sorts of horrible things coming up with autocorrect. So if you type in, are women evil, is what comes up. Isn't that horrible?
It's only a question.
My dad Googles me every single night. It's so cute. So the things that come up for me, like jump up, are Kiri Pritchard McLean comedian, Kiri Pritchard McLean YouTube, Kiri Pritchard McLean age, Kiri Pritchard McLean knickers. And I don't know where that's come from, but it's now I've said it out loud, my dad is Googling me every night. It's very complicated, isn't it?
The producer today, he typed in my name into Google, but is Miles Jupp, to see what it completed. The first one was, is Miles Jupp married? The second one, is Miles Jupp related to Giles Brandreth?
Because he is your real dad.
Yeah.
I wasn't ever going to bring this up.
Well, do you know what? He does. He tells people that he's related to me so that he can get into nightclubs for free.
Yeah.
If you Google my name, it comes up first. Second comes up a dormitory at Boston University called Rich Hall. So last week, Fred calls me up and goes, hey, I was in Aylesbury, and someone called me up and said, man, you must have rocked it in Aylesbury, because there's a tweet that says, Rich Hall was on fire last night. Yeah, well, I mean, it's Aylesbury, it doesn't really matter, but yeah, I was good. It turned out it was a dorm.
You obviously won't know this, but when I started doing comedy, there's a guy from Birmingham called Rich Wall, and he would turn up and your face would be on the posters, and there would be like a packed out back room of a pub, and then he'd be like, hello everybody. so sad. He's quit now. Oh.
Undulatingly, this is the news, or is it, that Wikipedia founder Jimmy Wales and Google are both launching new initiatives designed to combat the spread of fake news on the internet. I personally will do anything to stamp out fake news, up to but not including paying for properly resourced, responsible journalism. I was all in favour of these new initiatives until I read a blog post suggesting that this was just another attempt by Jewish financiers to control what we think, and now I don't know what to believe. I'm somewhat dubious about Wiki Tribune, given that it's run by a man who says his name is Jimmy Wales, when it turns out he's actually American. He's a bullshitter. It's like Alan Brazil. He's Scottish. And Baroness Scotland was born in Dominica. Why do these people take us for fools? I'm all up for cracking down on fake news if it means the end of those round-robin newsletters that come at Christmas. No, Ollie isn't sitting his land economy finals at Sussex. We all know he's in a Turkish prison being handed round like a bag of toffees. 2 points.
For Hugo. An awful lot of fake news originates as comedy. It's a weird thing. I wrote a big article on fake news a few months back.
Oh, yeah.
And what happens is you get, like... But you get satirical websites that aren't very good at it. And these stories get picked up by mad people and copied and cut and pasted and printed again and circulated massively on Facebook. So I spoke to this guy who ran a... It wasn't terrible, an OK satirical site out of Canada. And his stories were getting sort of circulated like 500,000 times around bits of America. And I was saying, you seem to be doing awfully well. And he's like, yeah, it's great. Everyone's, you know, written. And I was like, but it's not. Are you sure everybody realised it was meant to be a joke? And he was like, well, you know, he'd written one about sort of Joe Biden barricading himself in the White House with guns and refusing to leave if Donald Trump was elected. And he's going, surely everyone in America realises that's a joke. And I was like, I'm not sure they do.
2 points to Hugo. Katie, who's achieved their coal goal?
Oh, well, this was a nice story initially, I thought, and it was about the National Grid telling us that this month, for the first time ever, well, since the Industrial Revolution, we had a coal-free day in the UK. So all of the energy that was supplied for 24 hours on a day in April, none of it was supplied by the burning of coal. And that was good. I mean, I wanted to feel really good about it. I really did. But then I read the quote from the guy at the National Grid, and he said it was a great thing, but he had no idea when it was going to happen again. And the main reason why this happened is that it was a really hot day. And so everyone was outside, and no one was using the lights or heating and no kettles. And so that's why they were able to run the country with no coal. So it sort of feels like we can be coal-free as long as no one uses any electricity.
Hang on, if we're going to burn less coal because it's warmer, then that means global warming as a problem is going to solve itself.
Yeah.
This is great.
It's a virtuous circle. Yeah. It's perfect.
Does anyone know exactly what date it was, the day when no coal was used?
22nd?
It was the 21st of April, no coal was used. I remember that because I took the kids out on a steam train and then home for a barbecue.
I don't know. It's difficult, the climate change thing, because it feels like it's been a sort of the most slow burn emergency in history. It sort of has been an emergency for 20 years. I feel like the government should step in and just sort of impose things like the Second World War. It's just instead
whoa,
of.
Whoa, that sounds a bit extreme.
No!
Just tell people to use less coal, Katie.
Corbyn wants to reopen coal mines because he likes the mining bit, but he doesn't seem to realise that you get coal out of coal mines. Mm. So you've got to do something with the coal.
I'm Welsh, so I'm like. But part of me is really sad, obviously, about the decline of the coal mines, and there's going to be even more unemployment, but also so excited about the feel-good British film that's going to come out about it.
Maggie Thatcher has devastated our village. They do. Every 5 years, they make that same film, don't they? What was it last year, Pride?
Yeah.
Maggie Thatcher's devastated our village. Thankfully, I know some gay activists. And you think, hey, wait a minute, I see this film like 25 years. Maggie Thatcher has devastated our village. Fortunately, I know a small boy who likes the ballet. Rest off. Maggie Thatcher's I know a guy who plays the flugelhorn. Full Monty. I know some men who aren't averse to rubbing their sweaty crotches in front of women's faces. Make a film about the devastated village that gets the first Primark. Maggie Thatcher's devastated our village. Fortunately, there's now a place where we can walk in with 4 pounds and come out with 18 bags of shit.
Mr. Finley, this is the news announced by the National Grid that last Friday was Britain's first working day without coal power since the Industrial Revolution. Which is all very well, but with no coal, how are children going to make snowmen? You can't fashion a realistic button from nuclear waste. But I suppose you have to let them try. Coal's had its time. There's no excuse in this day and age for digging holes hundreds of metres into the ground, unless you live in Notting Hill, of course, and have run out of storage space for wine. We buy what coal we do use from Zimbabwe, where miners have to work in the most appalling conditions. What with the heat, it's almost impossible to march in uniform while playing the tuba and engaging in a tender courtship with Tara Fitzgerald. Mining has had an enormous environmental impact. For example, the entirety of Wales is now basically hollow. This is why people are forbidden from walking on the Gower while wearing stilettos, for fear of puncturing the country so that it flies off into the sea, spinning round and round like a deflating balloon before coming to rest a fraction of its present size on a fence in a field near Belfast. 2 points to Katie. Rich, have a listen to this. You throw this ball through the hoop. A basketball. You kick this ball through the goal. A football. You hit this ball over the net. Tennis ball, and you hit this ball over a tiny net. A table tennis ball, let's bounce like a ball. Bounce, 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 bounce. You hit this ball.
Welcome back.
Rich, yeah. Who should be following in their grandmother's footsteps?
I don't know. Somebody's got a lot of time on their hands and has conducted some study that the best way to shoot a free throw in basketball is granny style, underhanded. If you take the ball and hurl it from the ground up into the basket, then it comes down in a perfect arc. But it's bullshit because it looks stupid. And these are men who are going to have to, you know, go back in the dressing room and undress with every teammate.
Yeah, thanks for scoring all those points, Dave.
Yeah.
Looking like an idiot.
Yeah. So it's there's no finesse to it. It doesn't look cool. Hey, you know, Keith Richards could play his solos a lot better if he pulled up a chair and sat down, but he doesn't he? It looks stupid.
Because apparently it's the same in cricket, that like if you throw it underarm, you're more likely to hit the wicket or whatever it's called.
Possibly if you're a spin bowler. I don't know about that. But no.
If you're fielding your cricket, you're more likely to hit the stumps.
Oh. I could be better at bowling if I just picked up the bowling ball and hurled it overhand at the guy I'm bowling with. That's what makes all sports watchable, is the finesse, you know?
Yeah, if the two sides in football took it in turns to play, yeah, rather than both being on the pitch at the same time, it would be more effective but less entertaining. I can see that.
Well, that's kind of what a penalty shootout is, isn't it? They're taking in turns, and I think it works jolly well.
Don't look at me. I'm almost as posh as you. I've no idea what you're talking about.
I thought I'd steer you onto more familiar
almost.
Ground with cricket.
You are. I'm gonna quibble with this, Hugo, because you are irrefutably posher than me.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I just felt it was a point worth making.
That was the equivalent of a brawl.
Why might this research have annoyed the monkey community?
Whoa.
Oh, I know.
Who we
this.
Know are touchy.
There was a quote, wasn't it, saying that other animals throw things. And monkeys throw things, but they're just not very good at it because they don't aim at anything. They just throw it without bothering to see where it goes. Is that right?
That's right. Accurate throwing is a trait unique to humans. Monkeys do throw things, but they are bad at it.
Exactly. Which other animals throw things?
Apart from monkeys?
Yeah.
Like
well,
throw
yeah,
sticks.
Gazelles throw, don't they?
Yeah.
Gazelles?
Yeah, well, they play frisbee. Which other animals throw? I mean, which animals don't throw, Rich? When you're not at your ranch, your horses... Oh, my word. Horologically, this is the news that a scientific study suggests that the best way to perform a free throw in basketball is to employ the granny throw, slow and underarm. This is all according to research carried out by Yale. We assume the university, but based on the importance of this scientific breakthrough, it could just as easily be the Locks people. So, to the chagrin of PE teachers everywhere, it turns out that if you want to throw accurately, the best way to learn is by emulating your grandmother, and not by having an overweight man with a bowl-cut hairdo and an unwashed tracksuit repeatedly shouting into your tear-streaked face. Anyway, slow and underarm is the best way to throw a basketball, while overarm and running in at speed is the best way to throw confetti. 2 points. Two. Before we reveal the final scores, has anybody got a cutting that they'd like to share? Hugo.
Yes. This was sent in by Matt Dury, and it's a tweet from a farm-based meat supplier in Devon. They've tweeted, "We've partnered with gold medal-winning Olympic hockey player Shona McCallan, MBE. Check out her meat box." I didn't even get why that's funny.
Katie.
Lots of people, including Lisa Finney and Graham Fordyce, sent this in from the Herald Scotland and also the Evening Express. A woman caught urinating on Donald Trump's golf course in Aberdeenshire has lost her damages claim, but said she felt very relieved when the case was over.
Rich.
This is from Gumtree. Advert, large wooden framed mirror. The frame has a couple of light dents, but otherwise is in pervert condition.
Thank you, and now let's take a look at the final score. Kiri and Rich have 9, but this week's winners are Hugo and Katie with 11. Before we leave you, here is a warning to competitors in the 2017 Bath Half Marathon.
Please do not bring plastic bin bags to wear. We've had runners tripping over them and they just end up in landfill.
And with that, goodbye! Taking part in the news quiz were Hugo Rifkin, Katie Brand, Kiri Pritchard-McLean and Rich Hall. In the chair was Miles Jupp and the news is read by me, Neil Sweet. The chair's script was written by Sarah Campbell, James Kettle and Mike Shepherd, with additional material by Raoul Coley and Jenny Leville. The producer was Richard Morris, and it was a BBC Studios production.